Bibles. We're reading from verse 27 to 30. Let's read together from Matthew chapter 19, verse 27 to verse number 30. Okay. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake, namesake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. For many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. It's a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you to hear your word, Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit will take control of this session to be the teacher, and that, Lord, the word spoken will be from heaven, and through your word, Lord, we will understand what it means to follow you as your disciple. We pray that the Holy Spirit will teach us, pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, when you see a title like this, The Demands of Following Christ, that was last week, we actually talked about what the Lord Jesus actually told us, that there are certain things that as we follow Jesus Christ, there are certain demands. However, the demands and the cost that we're going to talk about today, we're going to talk about the cost of following Christ. Okay? The Bible actually teaches us when we come to Christ, many people actually want to come to Christ to be saved. But in following of Christ, it might be a challenge. Okay? And it's interesting because if you see the example of the rich young ruler that is in Matthew chapter 19, this rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And when Jesus said, Well, why callest thou me good? You know the commandments, well. And the Lord Jesus Christ showed him the Ten Commandments. And the rich young ruler was very encouraged, I suppose. He said, Well, sir, I have kept this from my youth. What do I need more? What do I need more? I've been following the rules. What do I need more? The Lord Jesus Christ looked at him. It's interesting. In the book of Matthew, it doesn't say, but in the book of Mark, it said, Jesus actually said, or rather the Bible said, the Lord, beholding him, loved him, said. When the Lord Jesus Christ presented the cost of following Christ, the cost of salvation, or rather the cost of following Christ, he actually said he loved him. When the Lord Jesus Christ loves someone, he will present to them the truth. And he actually said to this rich young ruler, Go and sell all that you have and give to the poor, and then come and follow me, and then ye shall have riches in heaven. The Bible actually said the Lord Jesus Christ told him, after Jesus told him that, the rich young ruler left. And it's interesting, the context was this rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, Sir, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And it's interesting, in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus presented salvation and following him as one package. As the apostles go on in their teaching, they are very clear that salvation is repentance from sin and faith in Christ. But it's interesting, many of the Christians who trusted Christ in the Bible continued to follow Christ. And that is a very important point. It is a difficult truth, but yet it is a truth. Jesus taught, So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. The word cannot mean is an absolute negative. There is no way, under no circumstances, if you will not forsake all that, you cannot be my disciple. And it's interesting, it's in the context of following Christ and discipleship. Brother Johnny, that's quite a hard truth. I know, especially in Singapore, that finds it very hard to commit. But you know, I was searching the scriptures and said, Lord, how do I present your demands in a way that will help the believers understand what you are saying? In the book of Matthew, Jesus was illustrating the growth of the church, and he shared this parable, and I believe it's a very important parable for us to learn, even as believers. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in the field, the which when a man had found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he had, and buyeth that field. There was this man who looked at a field and realized that field is actually treasure. And when he realized there's treasure, what did he do? The Bible says, for joy, he sell everything he had so that he can invest on the one thing that's most important. Again, the Bible says that a merchant man, the kingdom of heaven like unto a merchant man, who seeking goodly pearl, I mean, he was looking for something that is of good value for his investment. And the Bible says he found goodly pearls, pearls that are good. And when he had found one pearl of great price, the Bible says he sold all that he had and bought that pearl. Here, in this parable, you realize the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching that there's an infinite value. This person found that pearl of great price. And after he has found the pearl of great price, he put everything he had into that pearl of great price. For us as believers, it is likened to a person who have found the gospel and there's infinite value, that Christ is so important to us, they're willing to forsake everything that we ever have in our life. And we come to the point in our faith, they say, look, nothing compares to what I have received in my salvation. And this, the Bible says this person joyfully receives it, and in his mind have these things of God and the things of the Bible and things of serving God, and to give my life to him is so much more important than what I personally have. That the things I live for is nothing to be compared to what Jesus Christ has given me. That is the pearl of great price. It is likened to the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes, Brother Johnny, I don't think anyone in Singapore has done it. But you know what? In the Bible, there are many people who have lived for Christ to the point. The Bible says in Acts chapter 15, 35, 36, these two men is Paul and Barnabas. All right? After the council at Jerusalem, there were certain things, instructions that the pastor James from the Council of Jerusalem says, I need to send all this information to the people around. And it was Paul and Barnabas that they sent. So in Acts chapter 15, it said, it seemed good unto us, having been assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you all with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hesitated their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I mean by hesitate? Risk their lives. Risk their lives for the name of the Lord. In other words, these men are willing to give up their very lives for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Okay? The Bible says in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, the gospel of Jesus Christ is so important to these believers in the 7 years of tribulation that it is so valuable to them. They'd rather die than to honor the Antichrist. They loved not their lives unto death because the gospel was so important to them. So as we look at this, even when we have found a pearl of great price, and we see in the Bible there are certain people who give up and their lives for the gospel, yet there's still a decision that we need to make. There's still a decision we need to make. Salvation is free. There's nothing you can do to earn your salvation. The Bible is very clear. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, as any man should boast. You cannot work for your salvation. You just receive it as a gift. There are some people say, you cannot say free gift, right? Actually, the Bible talks about free gift, right? So there is a legitimate term now. Okay? But salvation is a free gift from God. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. All you need to do is to hear the word of God and agree with God. You have sinned. You are deserving of eternal punishment. But you are so thankful Jesus Christ died on the cross and you're willing to trust Him for it. You turn away from your sin, put your faith in Christ. That's your eternal salvation. And you're born again at that time. You're regenerated by the Spirit of God. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Okay? God translates you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in an immediate time. There is no transition between that. The moment we put faith in Christ, our life is changed at that moment in time. Salvation is a free gift, but discipleship in Christ will cost you. It will cost you like that. But the concept of the cost, you know, I struggle with this as a pastor because we live in Singapore that some people will count everything before they make a decision. It's very easy for me to give you the good part and say, well, if you really find something really so precious like the gospel of Christ, you should be willing to give up all. That's what Matthew chapter 13 teach, right? That as a man who searched for good pearls, after you found it, you will actually be willing to give up all so that you will live for Christ. But yet then in my mind, I toggle and said, but Jesus still taught that. He that will not forsake all will not cannot be my disciple. And so I have to tell you that discipleship will cost you. When you truly follow Christ, it will cost you. And in Matthew chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ highlighted the cost. What are some of the costs of discipleship? Firstly, you need to realize that there is a cost. There is a cost, because Jesus said in the book of Mark, okay, I know I read from the book of Matthew, but in the book of Mark is a clearer exposition of the cost that as a Christian we need to pay as we want to follow Christ. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, Jesus and Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Okay, in the book of Matthew, I read that because Peter added that and said, what are we going to have? Okay, that is a legitimate. Notice Jesus did not actually rebuke Peter. You know, sometimes they say, well, you need to follow Christ and don't ask any question. No, Jesus says that's a legitimate question. But I'm going to tell you, what are the costs? Firstly, there's a cost. There's a cost in material things. Because Jesus said, in Mark chapter 10, verse 29, I say unto you, there is no man that had left houses. And then at the end of that, verse 29, he thought, or lands. Houses or lands, there's a material cost. House and land refers to the wealth that the land, that, you know, when the Jewish people, when they plant the crops, they will get the yield. That's their wealth. You know, when you follow Jesus, sometimes you will actually have to give up some of these things that you yearn for. An example is our Brasso, he's a pilot trainer. He was in the RS, he was a commando. Then he became a trainer in the Air Force. You know, they could have enjoyed life, earned lots of money, but he answered God's call to serve. Answered God's call to serve. There's a cost in relationships. Now let me explain, because this is very sensitive to many families, sensitive to even relationships, but let's listen to what Jesus said. And Mark chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children. And this is one of the costs of discipleship, which sometimes makes it very hard for people to realize that. But I'll explain what Jesus means. There was one particular girl in our very first adventure camp. It was in 1996 or 1997. I can't remember. 1998, I can't remember. I think Issa may know, my wife may know. Jeremiah is only 2 years old at that time. But there was this girl, she's in primary four. At the end of this 4-day three-night camp, she knew she had to trust Christ. But she said, I will not trust Christ because I want to be faithful to my family. There is a cost in relationships. But I'll explain a little bit more. The Lord is not teaching that you abandon your family to serve Christ. Abandon. Okay, He's not teaching that. To be consistent with the Lord Jesus' teaching, the Lord Jesus is the one who instituted the family, and he will do nothing to break up the family. Okay? That is a very, very important first principle. But he is teaching that when it comes to choosing between the family or the Lord, that the love for Christ would be so great that it would appear that you seem to be abandoning your family. Does that make sense? It's a very subtle difference. And you know, the people of the world say, you don't love family anymore. Actually, it's not true. The more you love Christ, the more you want to serve Christ, the more you love your family. That is the principle that Jesus is trying to teach. But it comes a point in your life as a Christian that, I'll just give you this verse. This verse is a very telling verse, very, very powerful verse in helping us to understand that. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross and followeth is not worthy of me. When Jesus said that, he is not teaching it as a blanket statement whereby I say, wow, as long as you don't do that, in your... No. There comes a time that you have to make a decision. Example, there are two scenarios whereby people will need to make a decision. Number one, the scenario is that of salvation. I just shared with you. That you will realize you're a sinner on your way to hell, and Jesus Christ is the only one that can save you, and you say, because of your family, I'm not going to accept Christ. Does that make sense? That's the first scenario. But when you realize Jesus loved me so much, I love him because he loved me, so I'm going to... At the so-called impression that I'm abandoning my family, no. I'm going forward to Christ because I need him. I love him. And the more I love Christ, the more I love my family. Does that make sense? But in this situation, Matthew chapter 10, the second scenario, first scenario is a salvation. So if you're not a Christian today, and you are saying, no, my family is more important, you will never see the gates of heaven. You will never see Christ. Because Jesus came to die for you. But you know, the second scenario is in Matthew chapter 10. The context is when there's a choice to serve God or to stay with your family. And this is a context in Matthew chapter 10 that he's saying there is a cost. It doesn't have to be full time. You just have to be serving Christ. That when there's a decision to be made, and there's a choice to be made, our affinity to our family, our love for our family, drives our decision more than our love for Christ. There will come a time when there is a choice to make. In Luke chapter 9, verse 59 and 60, Jesus presented this to the... Well, there was one man, there were a few men that were there, and he said to one man, follow me. Follow me. I want you to follow me. But this man said, Lord, allow me to go home and bury my father first. Then Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, and go down and preach the gospel, the kingdom of God. Now it may seem to you that the Lord Jesus is very heartless. This person wants to go back and bury the father. Why didn't Jesus let him go? No, Jesus. Notice, Jesus will never be heartless. If the dead has just died, the Lord will say, go, settle all the stuff. You know what this person was saying? Let my father die first. Let me take all his inheritance. Let me settle all as a good filial son first. In other words, number one, the father is not dead. He's giving a future reason. Let me settle all these things first. I've taken my inheritance and everything is settled. When there is no more family hindrance, I'll come and follow you. And what Jesus then said, let the dead bury the dead. And go down and preach the gospel. This verse is very personal to me. It is through this verse the Lord called me into full time. My thought was then, I was talking to a friend, his name is Chris. Chris was with me in Australia. We were studying, went to the same church, Victory Baptist Church. And at that, I still remember in the conversation with him in the morning, I picked him up. Our church is about half an hour drive from my place, about 50 kilometers. So I was talking to him and he was telling me, no, bro, Johnny, you know, we need a lot of occupational therapists in Singapore. And I agree with him. At the time when I was having a scholarship, one person to 90,000 people. All right, one occupation, 90,000. Wow, so I thought I was filling a gap. You know, as I was thinking that my pastor used this verse on that particular day, I had no communication with him. The Lord spoke to my heart, go down and preach, let the dead bury the dead. You are saying there is a lack in occupational therapists in Singapore. There is a lack of preachers in Singapore. Go down and preach the gospel, let the dead bury the dead. You know, at that time I went up, made my decision, Lord, I'm going to serve you. It is important for us to consider that at that point there is a decision. I still studied, I didn't say I give up my course. God, I got my obligations to fulfill. But in my heart, God captured my heart. God captured my heart. This is important. God doesn't move you to do things without capturing your heart first. You know how God captures your heart? When you hear the preaching of God's word, and you know what you're supposed to do, and it's the Holy Spirit that's telling you to do it, and you say, yes, Lord. You will hold on to the decision no matter what the situation warrants you. Does that make sense? And that's an important truth. Some of you may want to become missionaries next time, but God has already captured your heart. And I'm praying that God will hold that thought in your mind. Okay? But there is a cost. There is a cost. There's been talk in our family also, if one wants to go to the full-time mission field, that means he's got to leave the family. To me, it's very heartbreaking. But I've told God, I made my decision. If my family, if anyone wants to go to the mission field, go. Because I would rather you be in God's will and apart from us than you be with us in our God's will. Does that make sense? But there's a cost. It's a painful cost. But yet it is a cost. That when we follow Christ, you may not get all that you want. You may get all the support that you want. I think of Brother Claude and Sister Linda in Nepal all by themselves for over 40 years. No support. You know the sad thing is sometimes people, I think my children came back and shared with me, and sometimes they shared with our children that sometimes they are forgotten. And they are, sometimes. And there is something, there is a cost in following Christ in our relationships. I also, the examples of the examples, there was a lady who was supposed to be engaged or have a boyfriend or something, a Christian, a Korean girl, 26 years old. But because that boyfriend don't believe in the preserved word of the Lord in King James Bible, he broke off with this person. Some people say, oh, you're so foolish. No, she's not. She values the doctrines of God over the relationships of men. Because how can two walk together except they be agreed? And so she was very clear, I'm going to follow what the Lord taught me and the doctrines of my God. There is a cost when you follow Christ. There is a cost. And then there is a cost also in personal life. In Luke 14:26, if any man come unto me and hate not his father, his mother, and wife, and children, and sisters, yea, in his own life also, the key is own life also. Your own life. There's a personal cost. You know what that cost? Cost comes when you have to deny your personal ambitions, deny your personal opinion, and deny your personal conveniences and comfort to follow Christ. Believers, it will mean we will come and serve God even though it's inconvenient for us. We will do those things that Jesus calls us to do simply because we love Him. Simply because we love Him. Remember what Peter, after a whole night of fishing, he was very tired. But of course, he already had that relationship with Christ. And in the morning, Jesus says, okay, Peter, launch out into the deep and cast down the net. What was Peter's first response? Lord, we have toiled the whole night and caught nothing. But the last part he said, but nevertheless at thy word, we'll let down the net. The word nevertheless is very important. In our Christian life, we need to have nevertheless. Many Christians have but. We need to have nevertheless. Nevertheless simply means, I may be very busy, it may inconvenience me, it may mean I got to fork out more. But nevertheless, your word is important. I'll do it. There is a cost, a personal cost. a personal cause. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29, that's what Jesus told us. Let me ask you a question as I complete the first point. Are you willing to pay the cost? That's one. Number two, you are living for someone else. In Mark chapter 10, verse 29, at the last part, Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that left houses or brethren or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's." Point number two, the cost is you are no longer living for yourself. You are living for someone else. As a Christian, we live for someone else. The Bible tells us, you are living for someone else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, what? "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, and ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price." Do you realize every single one of us, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. As he suffered the ridicule, as he suffered the physical pain, as he suffered the things that God called him to suffer in order to save us, he paid the price. We are paid. We realize we were in the slave markets of sin, but because Jesus Christ paid for us, he saw Jacob, he saw Gideon, he saw Calvin, he saw Asher and said, "I'm going to buy you. And you know what's the price? I'm willing to pay my price in blood." We are bought with a price, Christian. When you trusted Jesus Christ, you are not your own. You are bought with a price. And when someone else buys you, you know what is the generosity of our Lord Jesus Christ? "I have bought you. I make you free. I give you everything that you ever need to live your life. And I give you that decision whether you want to live for me." But when we choose to live for Christ, it is a love relationship that says, "I love Jesus because he saved me. I will therefore live for him." Does it make sense? In discipleship, it's not a forced relationship. It's a willing relationship. But there is a cost. This cost means you have to give up everything that you ever want to live for, in order to live for Jesus Christ. And that's what here the Lord was saying. If anyone will give us all these things for my sake, and that's the key, for my sake, you're living for Christ. The cost is that you were living your life for yourself, but now you're living for someone else. And therefore, your Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, is your master, and he calls the shots. In other words, wherever he sends you, you will go. Okay, and there's one phrase that says, "Wherever he leads me, I will go, and whatever he feeds me, I will swallow," or something like that. Okay, wherever he leads me, I will follow, whatever he feeds me, I will swallow. "I don't like green, I don't like vegetable." No, when Jesus is your master, you eat your vegetables, even though you don't like it. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, as our good master, will never give us something that's bad for us. Amen? That's the point. He's such a great Savior. He's such a good Savior that wherever he leads us, to us may be bad, but the safest place is in the will of God. He always gave us the best. You know why Jesus did say? Because he was striking at the heart of human pride and selfishness. Human pride and selfishness. He was striking at the heart. He has to tell the truth. There is a cost. You are no longer going to live for yourself. In other words, you are no longer going to advance your ambition. You are no longer going to live by your own opinions. You are no longer going to live your own comforts. But you know, as Jesus did that, he set the example. What do I mean? Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, and yet the Son of Man have not a place to lay his head." The Lord Jesus lived a life of self-denial, teach us the cost of following Christ. There is a cost when we follow Christ. And the second cost is that you are living for Christ, no longer for yourself. In Romans chapter 14, okay, I'll just read the verse. In Romans chapter 14, verse 7 to 9, the Bible says, "For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. The Bible says, for no one of us lives to ourselves. When we live for the Lord. When we die for the Lord. Whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. That's the point. Now, I know sometimes we apply this verse to mean that whatever we do will affect someone else. That is always true. Your decisions you make will always affect someone else, whether for good or for bad. But in the context of Romans 14, Paul is just saying, when you live or die, you are the Lord's, and therefore, you don't live to yourself. You don't live to yourself, okay? For to this reason, Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord both of them and the living, that he might be your God, that he might be in charge of your life, to live for him. Your life, you love him, you live for him. Christians understand this. You're living for Jesus, not because he forced you to. You live for Jesus because he loves you. You're willing to live for him because he loves you. Because he has paid the price of your salvation. He has paid the price. Okay? This verse, I'll just give you the proof. This verse has always been a big encouragement for me. For the love of Christ constrained. The word constrained means to compel. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. That means when Jesus' purpose is to die for all men, that means actually all of us are dead in sin, on our way to hell. And then, that when he died for all, the day which lived, those people who put faith in Christ, those who are spiritual alive, should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Christ who died for them and rose again. Christians, we need to see our relationship with Christ as a relationship that says, I was on my way to hell, but someone loved me enough to pay that price. So what should my response to him be? I need to live for Christ. But there is a cost. There's a cost that strikes at pride and selfishness. You know, this world wants to live for themselves, but Jesus says, if you belong to me, you should no longer live for yourself. It's for Christ. But there is a cost. But you no longer just live for Christ, but you live for the gospel's sake. Okay, it's not for the gospel's sake. For the gospel's sake. Because Jesus said, when you give up all these things for my sake and the gospel's, what does and the gospel's sake mean? Now as you live to promote and to propagate and to evangelize what Jesus Christ came to start. Great Commission. Right, Johnny, are you calling me to full-time? No, I'm not calling you to full-time. God is. But some of us, God is just wanting us to be faithful to live for the gospel and support the advance of the gospel. Because there are many people dying going to hell. Philippians 1:20, verse 21, this is what Paul says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness always so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Everything that Jesus stands for, his cause, his will, his word, for me to live is Christ. That's what Paul says. And Paul was in prison. He says, even if I were to die in prison, for me to live is Christ. And even if I die for Christ, it is Paul's gain. Why he goes straight to heaven to be in the presence of God? Who are you living for? Are you living for Christ? Thanks. Are you living for Christ? Who are you living for? And there's an important answer. There's a cost. And remember, I'm speaking to believers. Point number three, the last point. There are blessings. And the Bible is very clear. The Bible says in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, after Jesus says about the cost and that we are no longer living for ourselves. He says there are blessings involved. In Mark chapter 10, verse 28, in Mark chapter 10, verse 30, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this life. Now that's a lot. There are twofold blessings. One is blessings now, and then the blessings in the future, okay? He says, following Christ will always bring blessings, even when we have given up all to follow Christ at his call. There are two categories of blessings. One, the blessings as now is 100-fold. And you know, there are some people who read this and says, wow, if I give to Jesus, he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and brothers and children and lands. Wow, if I follow Christ, God's going to give me 100-fold, man. That's being taught by the prosperity gospel. But they forgot one part. You know what that part? With persecutions. They forgot the part that when you live for Jesus, you experience persecution. The Lord Jesus is not talking about prosperity here, physical prosperity. He's talking about the fact that you will receive 100-fold now in this life. And he didn't specify what it was, but he did specify that the Lord Jesus Christ had the houses of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. Elijah had the house of someone who took care of him. You know those people who give up things for Christ, God gives back in the care of their lives in this life. I don't know about you, I have a family of five, including me is six. But I've got good brethren that will stand by me. That's what Jesus is talking about. When you live for Jesus Christ, there will be people supporting you, the people who become your family. I have family in Philippines. Not that I have another family there. I know Pastor Barrera. I know some of the believers over there. I know I have a pastor friend, Brother Cloud, who prays for me and encourages me. I have brothers in the U.S. who prays for me and encourages me, Pastor John Trader in Zambia. We have friends in this life that God blesses us with. And you know what? My family is here. I'm thank God we have an extended family in our church. These are the families that God is talking about. The spiritual blessings. I can tell you $1 million is not going to buy the type of support that Christian friends can give to one another. Did you hear what I say? $1 million will not buy the type of support that I can have from my Christian brothers and sisters. Because let's face it, this world look at you many times from an economic value perspective. How much you can contribute to them. If you can't contribute, they will kick you out. No, the Bible says your blessings in this life refers to the links, the friendships, the relationships in Christ as you serve together, how God will bring you all together. Pastor John Strader, I only know him for a few hours, and right now I'm still communicating with him, sharing blessings, prayer requests, some of his heart. And it seems as if I know him. You know, have you ever been with a Christian and say as if you've known him for a long time? Why? Because of the born in Christ. And that's what Jesus is referring to. But the blessings is now. But you know what? There's blessings to come as well. And the Bible says, and in the next life, in the next eternal life. I don't know about you. How long is eternal? Eternal is forever. And God says that you're going to receive all the blessings I will ever give you in this life and the next. You know, everything that you have in this world will pass away. I hope you understand that. Because as a believer in Christ, we need to be living for the eternal. We are living for things that are no longer of this earth, but of heavenly value. Okay? There will be blessings. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, the Bible says, but as it's written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Okay? Some of us will say, oh, if I follow Christ, I don't get what I want. Young people, are you listening? I know you are studying hard for a degree. You are studying hard for a PhD. Your PhD will not stand anything. It will not mean anything at the judgment seat of Christ. You can give up everything to study, but make sure you study with the purpose of glorifying God. I'm not saying don't study. You study with the purpose of putting God first in everything. In everything. If educational pursuit is your only goal, you are missing the mark. But if you say, Lord, with this, I'm going to do things for you, and you follow that, follow the will of God more than what you personally want, God says that he will reward you as you put him first in everything. But God says, you cannot even imagine what I've prepared for you. Can you imagine that? God says that. I'll just say this thing. There's one statement I read which is so encouraging. It says, when we get to heaven, unless God change our body into the perfect body that we're going to have, we will not be able to bear the beauty of heaven. heaven is so glorious, so wonderful, that if we go to heaven with this sinful body, we'll die. It's only when God changes us that we can bear the shock of the unspeakable beauty of heaven. And then you know what will happen? At that particular point of time, when we see the beauty of heaven and the holiness of our Lord Jesus Christ, who looks at us and says, well done. At that moment, everything that we have ever complained about will melt away and say, Lord, it was all worth it. Following Christ is always worth it. As we close this last verse. You know, Jesus said at the end of the whole thing, but many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. We always use this when we are queuing up for food, right? Sometimes. You know what I mean? You know, as 30 years as a Christian, I was thinking and reading this, I have my own, but finally I believe I understood, and I believe this is what God is saying. The Jewish people had all the opportunities. They were first in line of all the promises that God has given to the nation of Israel. They had the privilege of knowing the Messiah. But because they rejected what God says, the first shall be last. But the Gentiles like us, who have never had the privilege of the Word of God until now, the last shall be first. And so when we come into the kingdom of God, you know what? We are blessed. But you know what? It's all the same. Faith in Jesus Christ and walking with Him and loving Him and following Him. For the last shall be the first, they that are first, the Jews shall be last, and last first. For us, in the practical application of our faith, some of us may have heard the gospel, heard the word of God so many times, to the point that we are pushing the word of God out of our lives. If you know the word of God and not doing it, the first will become last. Last will become first. In Luke chapter 12, verse 40, I just finished off with this as we look at the whole area of following Christ. Jesus said, but he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes, but unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. And whom men have committed much, of him they shall require, ask the more. Rajani, what are you referring to? I'm referring to Christians who know the will of God and are not doing it. Jesus was speaking very candidly to his disciples. If you know that it is God's will to be baptized, if you know it is God's will for you to follow him in your life, in character, in obedience, in being faithful to the little things that God has told us, Jesus told his disciples that whosoever know and don't do, or rather know, God will require much more from that person. That's a normal thing. In Singapore, there are MPs who fall into adultery. They are a disgrace to our PAP. So they have to go. There is no justification at that point. They have, I shared, I think in last Sunday school, yes, last week's Sunday school, that for a common person to steal and are caught, they may go maybe 2 months in jail. But for a police officer to be caught, his sentence is double. Why? Because he knows. For us as believers in Christ, can I encourage you? Yes, there is a cost. But let's commit ourselves to someone who, the last one, we need to ask you a few questions as we close. In closing, have you found the pearl of great price? That's your starting point. Is the Lord Jesus Christ everything to you? If it's not, the cost, you will not want the cost. If Jesus if he's not everything to you, but the things of this world that you like, then he is not the pearl of great price. Because in Matthew chapter 13, the pearl of great price requires the person or indicates that the person, when he found this, he's willing to give up everything so that he can commit to this pearl of great price. Are you willing to give all to follow Christ? Remember, the giving all doesn't mean you relinquish what you have now, or you relinquish the thing inside your heart. You already decided. For example, I already decided there's no another lady but my wife. That will go to the point I die and I see Christ. There's no one else. I've already decided. Okay? You can dangle whatever. Yeah, I can be tempted, but no. The decision will come back. No, this is the decision. I found my pearl of great Christ. Are you willing? In other words, whoever comes will forsake all for one person. My wife. What about you as a Christian? Are you willing to forsake all for Christ in your heart? It may not lead to that physical giving up now, but in your heart at least, is God? Are you able to say, I love Christ? Everything, even my closest relationships, I'm willing to forgo for Christ when the choice comes. Okay, the next one, the question we need to ask, who are you living for? These are very serious questions. In answer to today's message, who are you living for? Are you living for your own convenience or are you living for Christ? Living for Christ will always bring inconveniences. And it's not because he wants to do that. It was because we are headed out. We're headed this way, but Christ's road is headed this way. And we will need to make a decision, and that's why it becomes, in psychological terms, they call it cognitive dissonance. In other words, you think here that you're double-minded. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we will come to a settled conviction when we're truly found the pearl of great price. The Lord Jesus Christ is the pearl of great price. And I pray that we will have the courage and faith in Christ and trust that God knows best to say this, Lord, thank you for loving me. And I'm going to live for you because you love me the most. And whatever it takes, Lord, I'm going to follow you, whatever the cost. I'll serve you. Whatever the cost is, Lord, I'll follow you. Let's pray. Lord, thankful for this opportunity to be able to share, Lord, and preach your word. Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ shared with or taught the disciples how that following you, there is a cost. No matter how great your love is for us, your compassion that will compel, but yet there is a cost. A cost that will bring us to the point that we might just need to say, for Christ's sake, I'll do this. Yes, it can be painful sometimes. Even as it was painful for you, Lord. Heavenly Father, when you, in your love, had to pay the price when Jesus died for us. That the cost of losing your son for that point. Father, I ask you to strengthen our resolve in our own hearts so that we will be willing to follow you at any cost. Your eyes closed, heads bowed, speaking to Christians. Is the Lord asking you to give up something in your life? It will cost you. Or to do something like that will cost you so that you can be better, you can follow him in a clearer way, that your life will be more reflective of your life in Christ. He says, I'm sin, some things that you say, Lord, for your sake, I found the pearl of great price. I'm coming to surrender all. Is there someone like that? I'll pray for you, for God's grace to be upon you, and the strength to make the decision. Is there someone like that? All right, let's pray. Father, I thank you for what you're going to do in our life as a church. And I'm praying, Lord, that you teach us to surrender all, because you gave all that we might. I pray that the word spoken, Lord, you will touch our hearts. Help us to search our hearts for the pearl of great price that we have found. And then, Lord, to anchor our decisions based on this foundation of Christ. For Lord, we know that any other foundation will cause us to waver. Any other foundation we place our faith on will cause us to doubt the pearl of great price, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing Christ, his love and his grace, to be shown to us that we might receive him and to turn away from our sin. But yet, Lord, you did present the cost of following you, and I pray by your grace, an ambassador as a whole, and individual Christians will be willing to pay the price. For some, it might be the decision to be baptized, to follow you. Lord, we know baptism is not the end all. It's just the beginning of our obedience. Help us, Lord, to realize that living for you is the best. And for the rest, there may be sins in our life, there may be areas of our life, and Lord, you just want to tweak and to fine-tune the Lord, but it does require the cost of denying ourselves. And Lord, the cost of forsaking the things which stop us from following you, I pray that you speak to our hearts, knowing, Lord, that when you ask us to forsake all, it is actually for our good. Heavenly Father, thank you. We may not see the benefits now, but I pray that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.